Well, hey, good morning. Want to welcome all our campuses joining together here at North, Gateway South, Gateway Buda, Gateway Central up in Pflugerville. You guys in the movie theaters up there, as well as those joining in Dripping Springs, and of course, Branson, and you guys online all around the world. Thanks so much for joining us. We are starting a new series, which is why we're all together. We try to come all together when we launch a new series. And today we're talking about how to relaunch your life. You know, and I've been telling you, I've been trying to relaunch my soccer life, and I've been moaning about it, right? Because I took a year off from COVID, and about 3 weeks back playing, my knee gave out, and I kept trying to come back, and finally, this week, I went to the ortho. You know, because I've learned the hard way that when you deny an injury, it only makes it worse. Like 15 years ago, we were taking a vacation. We were at Laguna Beach, and my son and I were running and jumping over waves. That's what you do when you're 10. He was 10. And we had been doing this for hours, and I finally had dried off from the cold Pacific water, and I was sitting there nice and warm and toasty on the beach, and he comes up, "Dad, can we do it again? Come on, just one more time." And the dad guilt got to me, and I said, "Okay, one more time." And so we go running, you know, I raced him into the water, and I could swear a 5-foot rogue wave came and just, but Kathy said I was running like ankle deep water, and it looked like I just threw myself down. Whatever, I reached out and stopped my fall with my right arm, and the next day, it hurt. There was something, there were signs that something was wrong, but it was such a silly mistake. I didn't want to be hurt. And I just wanted to deny it. And so I just waited for time to heal. And about 3 weeks later, the signs were still there. And I finally went to the doctor. It turns out I'd fractured my shoulder. So then I had to be in a sling for about a month. And after that, I had to do physical therapy. And then that didn't work because due to my denial of the injury, my shoulder had locked up. And so it required even deeper therapy. And so I've learned, at the signs of injury, humility and getting help is really your best friend. Well, fortunately, I found out from the knee doctor, there's nothing wrong with my knee. Turns out I'm just old and out of shape, but ibuprofen helps. Let me ask you a question. As we're talking about how to relaunch your life, you know, out of this season, how to start new, how to start fresh. But a very important question is this: can a soul be injured? Can we have wounded hearts that cause us to limp along emotionally, relationally, spiritually for years, maybe for a lifetime, because we see the signs, but we won't admit them and we won't seek help? And of course, the answer is yes. And the Bible talks a lot about this. In fact, let me show you what the scripture says about the heart. Now, I'm not talking about the muscle pumping blood throughout your body. When the Bible refers to the heart, it's talking about the center of a person, the spiritual core of a person. That's why the first commandment is to love God with all your heart, right? Look at what Jesus says here, Luke 12. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. David says, your word I've treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you, in Psalm 119. These people hear me with their lips, Jesus says, but their hearts are far from me. 2 Chronicles 16, the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. See, the heart is the spiritual center of who you are. It's the very place from which we relate to God. It's the place out of which we truly can love people. It's where your creativity comes from, your emotion, your motivations. The heart is critical to understand. And it's also critical to understand the heart can be broken. You can have a broken heart, just like you can have a broken bone. And I'm not talking about like a romantic heartbreak. That might be one way it can break. But it can also be a father's wound or a mother's abuse or neglect or abandonment or sexual abuse or maybe being bullied over and over, racism, or just lots of little relational dings adding up over time. See, friends, we live in a world at war. It's a world at war, first with God. And all people have turned away from him. And so the reality is, it doesn't matter who you are or where you grew up, no one comes out uninjured. And that's a very important thing to understand. Because the reason so many of us, I think, struggle with relationships or struggle to find joy or struggle with trusting or with addictions or maybe even just struggle relating to God is because we have wounded hearts that have gone unhealed. And the problem is it's really hard to see, especially if it was from childhood, but you can see the signs and the symptoms. So I want to tell you about the signs and the symptoms I saw in myself when I started to realize that my heart had been wounded and that I needed healing. And I want you to consider, do you see some of these signs or symptoms? Because if you will admit them and seek healing from God, he will heal you. We have tons of help here too through our Restore and our recovery ministries that will walk through with you in that. So about 7 years ago, I didn't realize there was anything wrong, quite honestly. I just knew I wanted to avoid people and watch soccer, which is fine if you're a pro soccer player. Not so good if you're a pastor, right? You know, they say this is a great job except for the people. Well, you know, what I started to feel is that I just wanted to avoid people. I didn't even want to go out in my neighborhood because I might see people. It's just so people-y out there. That was kind of the feeling I had. There was something I was protecting. And I didn't know what was wrong. But I started to just ask God, what is wrong with me? And I didn't know. But I started to see the signs. And over the course of about 2 months of asking that question in prayer, I felt like God gave me an analogy. And as I kept asking, show me what's wrong, it was like I got this picture of a paper cut. You know, you get a paper cut, you don't go to the hospital, it's no big deal, right? But it was like he was saying, but John, what if you get 50 paper cuts that go unhealed? Then you can get sepsis, it can kill you. And what he began to show me is that I had taken about 50 paper cuts, little relational wounds, people talking bad about me, friends leaving and not telling me, relationships that went south and I tried to reconcile, but I couldn't. All these little no big deal cuts, but unhealed, they're a huge deal, is what God was trying to show. Because wounded hearts that go unhealed are a really big deal. Now, COVID's been an intense few years. And maybe you've started to see some of the signs surfacing that they're unhealed wounds in you. Or maybe during this season, you've gotten injured. Now, it's not a one-time deal, healing. But the beginning of healing is honesty. It's just admitting, there's something not right. God, show me what's wrong. So let me ask, do you see the signs that you need some healing? Let me show you the signs of a wounded heart that I saw. First, loss of joy. You know, maybe you've never felt much joy, or maybe you have, but now that it's kind of gone away, that wonder, that awe, that enjoyment of life has kind of left you. Well, I got to tell you, as I started to heal, the joy came back. It did, and it will for you. But it's often a sign of an unhealed wound when you have a lack of joy. Another sign is protecting yourself. You know, again, you avoid people, you dread people. It's just so people-y out there. Because, you know, maybe you feel like if I get close to people, they're going to drain the last little bit of emotional, relational energy I have left. Well, you might not see the why immediately, but keep asking God, show me, why am I protecting myself? Probably you're protecting a wound that needs healing. Deep sadness or fear is another sign. You know, when a memory from the past still feels intense sadness, intense anger, intense fear or terrifying or hurt, it's a sure sign it's still unhealed. And it will get infected and it will infect other relationships if it remains unhealed. Is there a memory from your past? You just don't go there. You can't go there. Well, God wants to go there with you. He wants to replace that grief or deep sadness or terror with a new memory. And he will redeem and restore what's been lost and broken if you let him. Another sign of a wounded heart is defensiveness. You know, if you're defensive, you're defending something. What is it? Probably a childhood wound. You know, it's probably been there for a long time. Do you find yourself defending? Like, you got to prove you're right. You're never wrong. Or, you know, you got to defend your character all the time. Whatever it is, it means you're not living in God's grace. Here's why. Look, in Christ, you don't need to defend yourself. Look at what it says in 1 John 2. We have an advocate, literally a defense attorney, who pleads our case before the Father, before God. He is Jesus Christ, the sacrifice that atones for our sins. Jesus is your defense lawyer, and he's a good one. And he's actually done what it takes to bring your case before the Father and declare you atoned, meaning righteous in God's sight. No blame, no harm, no foul because of what he's done. So if you're still defending yourself, there's a wound there he wants to heal so you don't feel the need to. Easily offended or angered is another sign that you probably carry unhealed wounds. You know, when there's a wound, just a touch can cause a reaction, right, on a physical wound. Well, same with emotional wounds. You know, do you find you overreact? Maybe struggle with road rage or blow up over a comment or criticism. Maybe you easily lose it with your kids or with your spouse. If you're easily offended or angered or blame others for this intense emotion, it's a sure sign there's an unhealed wound. But God wants to go there with you and heal it so that you have life and joy again. Shame and self-condemnation. Another sure sign of unhealed wounds. Because when we're wounded, we often make agreements with lies. Lies tend to attach to wounds. And it's actually how we get manipulated. If you find self-hatred or condemning thoughts about how pathetic or useless or bad you are bombarding you, what a failure you are, those thoughts are evil. You're not evil, but this is how evil works in the world. It takes a wounded person and takes lies attached to them and manipulates that person to hurt someone else. And that keeps going if we believe the lies. You know, when I had the 50 paper cuts, I started believing lies because they felt true. Because the wound made it feel true. You're a bad leader. God's left you. The Holy Spirit's not guiding you anymore. None of it was true, but it felt true because of the pain of the wounds. And when we're wounded, we don't see things accurately. You know, maybe you hear things like, God doesn't love me, or I'm uniquely horrible, I'll never succeed. You know, you can never trust anybody. Everybody lies. Well, this is exactly how evil works, you know. Attaches these lies to these wounds, and as long as the wounds feel fresh, the lies feel true, and then we're manipulated out of that hurt to hurt others. But when we can see the signs, God can begin to heal it if we'll admit it. You know, Jesus said this, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, to destroy your life. But I, Jesus said, have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Overflowing life. That's what he wants to give you. And here's the thing. Growing up in church or growing up in a Christian home does not mean there are no wounds. What it often means is it's more difficult to see them because they get all papered over in God talk. You know what I'm talking about? It's kind of like God talk covers everything, even if things were done that were not God's will. You know, Colette shared a story that she wrote and gave me permission to share with you. She said, I was born and raised an only child in Brooklyn, New York, to two Caribbean parents. I was brought up in a Christian home, raised in church. I started coming to Gateway Recovery in August 2018 for anger issues. While working through recovery, I later discovered I also struggled with codependency, alcohol abuse, and promiscuity. In April 2021, God revealed to me I was really in recovery for shame and how that had played out my whole life. My childhood was full of love from both parents, but as I got older, I noticed a rift between me and my mother forming. She was distant, cold, and emotionally unavailable. I remember constantly trying to please her, to do things I thought would make her happy so she'd stop yelling at me. I would often ask her, "Do you love me?" And she would not respond. Perfectionism was a big goal for my mom. From the way I spoke, to my posture, to my clothes, my grades in school had to be A+ or punishment was expected. And you can probably hear the lies and the wounds of her mom that probably she felt passing on. Colette says, a B+, I remember, led to an entire night of being called stupid, worthless, a disgrace, and an idiot. Physical abuse would often follow. I remember getting beaten one day with a belt on my bare skin until I was black and blue and welted. She picked out a long sleeve shirt and pants for me to wear to school the next day and told me, make sure the bruises stay hidden. My mother would often comment on my body, and it didn't matter who was around. She'd call me fat and allude to the fact that no guy would ever want to be with me. I started to believe all the lies, that I was ugly and stupid and disgusting and unlovable. College years started a host of addictions. Freshman year was the first time I got drunk. One drink was never enough for my strong emotions. It had to be intoxication every time. I knew my drinking was out of control. And when I started grad school, I knew I had to get help. I couldn't afford to fail because that would mean moving back home with my mother. So I cut back on my toxic relationship with alcohol only to pursue my second addiction, men. In the church I grew up in, we never talked about God's mercy or grace. So when I lost my virginity, I knew I was going straight to hell. I'm an abomination in God's eyes. I felt worthless, so I acted worthless. That's when my list of sexual partners grew. Over the years, this led me into deep depression and isolation, feeling shame and guilt, unworthy of love. I remember isolating myself, feeling disgusted, which increased my alcohol use until thoughts of suicide filled my head. Colette desperately wanted a change, so she moved to Austin. But when she did, she had a horrible blow-up, an angry blow-up with her mom, and that sunk her into despair again. So she Googled help with anger, and what came up was Gateway's recovery. She said, I joined an open share group that night. I appreciated the vulnerability. I looked around the room, and it felt like I could open up to these people. They won't judge me. From the time I started the 12-step study, God has been changing my life, removing toxic people and putting people who will keep me on the right path to God. This church as a whole has helped me get closer to God by clarifying a lot of the old lies I believed before about God planted in my head about no redemption, denying God's mercy and grace. I feel like I can start over with God, realizing he still loves me despite my sins. He will forgive. Recovery was the best decision I made and changed my life. By the time I got to the 7th and 8th step about making amends, I heard the voice of God tell me to make amends with my mom. Instant anger, Colette said. Me make amends with the one person who hurt me the most? My pride delayed my obedience. But finally, I read my letter to my mom, and she apologized to me. Never in my life had I heard my mom apologize. I was overwhelmed with emotion. Since July 2019, my relationship with my mom has only gotten better. We talk on the phone without arguments. We hug each other. She even says, I love you. See, friends, hurt people, but God turns us and heals us and turns us into wounded healers. That's how he overcomes evil in the world. When you allow God to heal your wounded heart, then you can combat lies. Then you can change the story. You know, we're doing a workshop called Your Story Matters to help you get at some of the voices, some of the lies, some of the messages that you carry with you so that you can find healing. And recovery, you know, is always available. Biblical recovery is just a biblical spiritual formation path for healing. That's really all it is. I mean, recovery actually has zero to do with addictions. It has everything to do with getting right with God, with yourself, with other people, healing. And once you get the healing right, the addictions, the anger, the worry, all the fears start to fall away. So I really want to encourage you, relaunch strong. Go out to gatewaychurch.com/restore and look at all the options available in this season. Let's relaunch healed into this new season. Because ultimately, our wounds rob us of the ability to love people. People have hurt us. The hurts make us guarded. That causes us to be unable to love people because love requires proximity and vulnerability. But a hardened, guarded heart doesn't want that. So evil wants to steal and kill and destroy your life. But Jesus came to heal it. Look at what Jesus said. He stood up in the synagogue and he read the prophecy of Isaiah in Isaiah 61, which foretold what the Messiah would come to do. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, Jesus read, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for captives. Do you see that? See, Jesus didn't come only to forgive all our sins. Yes, that. Or to set us free from our addictions. Yes, that. But he came to heal our hearts so that our hearts can be full of his joy again. But here's the deal. Time doesn't heal, just like it didn't heal my shoulder. Moving on doesn't heal. You know, you hear that all the time. You get a divorce, just move on. It doesn't work. And sucking it up doesn't heal. It just hardens your heart, and a hardened heart is dangerous. And you may say, well, if God wants to heal, why didn't he just heal? Well, because the law of God is the law of love, and love must respect the free will of the other. So God waits for your willingness, for your wanting it. You know, Jesus was going through Jericho one day, and two blind men cry out to him, "Have mercy on us, Jesus." And here's what it says. Jesus stopped and called to them. "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. Seems like a kind of dumb question, right? They're blind. What do you mean? Have mercy on us? Why would Jesus ask that? Well, because the truth is some people don't want to be healed. Sometimes our wound has become our identity. Sometimes we want to keep in that wound because it's our identity. Sometimes we use that wound as an excuse to stay in our addiction or in our pride or our sin patterns. Sometimes our wound, we think, gives us reward. Workaholics, you know, get acclaim. Religious Pharisees, they're looked at on a pedestal, even though a wound motivates it. So Jesus asks us, what do you want me to do for you? How would you answer that? Do you want to be healed? Lord, they answered, we want our sight. Then Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately they received their sight and followed him. Those last two words are key. They followed him. The reason God waits for your willingness to heal you is because he wants you to follow him. Not just be healed, follow him, because when you follow him, then you become an agent of healing to others in our broken, wounded world. So why wouldn't everybody do that? Well, three reasons: pride, fear, and guilt. Pride blocks healing. You know, pride says, I'm strong. I don't need any help. I'm not broken. I'm not wounded. Or pride, you know, is perfectionism. You know, I'm good. I'm better than. Or they need me. I have to help them. Look, it's just pride. There's only one Savior. You're not it. Right? And so we need to learn what God said to the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians 12. God said to me, Paul says, my grace, my forgiveness, my grace, my love is sufficient. It's enough for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Paul says, okay, then I'll boast more gladly about my weakness. God opposes our pride. But when we're humble, when we admit our weakness, that allows his power, his strength to infuse our hearts with something that can be healing to others as well. Fear also blocks healing. Like I said, some of us, what happened in the past was so traumatic. The thought of going back there, it's like plunging into an abyss you'll never come out of. But you're not going alone. You're not going alone. You're going to let God go before you. Look what Jesus said. He said, I am the light of the world. And the light of the world, whoever follows me, you don't go first, you follow, and you will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. You let Jesus guide you into that memory, that place. And again, you know, support from a Christian counselor or from one of our Restore recovery groups can help too. But you let him guide you in, and he will light up the darkness, and the wounds and the fears will flee. I remember God did this for a friend of mine who, he was an atheist when he came to Gateway. He was a Harvard-trained lawyer, very smart guy. He became an atheist because he grew up with a military dad who used to beat him as a child. And so the lie in his head is, there is no God, or he would have protected me. Or if there is a God, he hates me because he let that happen. And so he ran from God for many, many years. But he started to see the same issues in his life that he had seen in his dad's. And he and his wife started coming to our church, and he found faith in Jesus. And then he started to grow, and he started to pray, God, show me where you were when that was happening. And over the course of the months, as he started to pray that, one time as he was praying, God gave him kind of like a vision, I guess. I don't know, a memory, a thought. But in his mind, Adam saw himself as a little child curled up as his dad was beating him. But this time, he saw this like clear blue bubble of protection around him. And there behind the scene, he saw Jesus hanging on the cross with tears streaming down his eyes, down his face. And he realized Jesus was brokenhearted over what his wounded father was doing to his son. And Jesus died to pay for that, to heal his father and to heal him. And that began a healing work in Adam as he was then able to forgive his wounded father, realizing that Jesus had forgiven him, and even seek out reconciliation with his father. And Adam became a wounded healer of the very man who wounded him. That's how God overcomes evil, heart by heart. But we can't let things block that healing. One other thing is guilt or sin patterns can block that healing. Because here's what happens. When we get wounded, we're mad, we're hurt, we're angry, and we react. Oftentimes because we hear lies that evil puts in our heads about God. So then we go do hurtful, sinful things to ourselves or to others out of that wound. And when God shines his light in our lives, we know he's going to shine it on that sin, and maybe we're not ready to get rid of it yet. And so we hold back because we don't want the light to light up our dark patterns. But here's what God says to us. Ezekiel 18, turn from your sins. Don't let them destroy you. Put all your rebellion behind you and find yourself a new heart, a new spirit, says the sovereign Lord. Turn back to me and live. God wants to give you life, overflowing, full of joy, full of good things. But we have to turn back to him, knowing that Jesus died to pay for all our sins, to forgive us, to heal us, to restore us. So you're ready to relaunch your life. Let's relaunch into this season healed. And I want to give you an assignment to do, an assignment that I did that helped my heart begin to heal. And if you will do this, God will begin to heal your heart as well. And it may take months, it may take years, I don't know, but he will begin to do it. So here's what I did, and here's what I encourage you to do. First, spend time alone with God. You got to carve out like 1 to 2 to 3 hours at a chunk, and you might need several of them, and just get alone and quiet and pray. Take that list of signs of a wound that I just gave you, and then pray Psalm 139. Search me, God. Know my heart. Know my heart. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in your way everlasting. Just ask God, search my heart. Is there an unhealed wound there? Show me. And just sit in quiet. Don't quickly, you know, start a thought process. Sit there long enough and then start to write down. After 30 minutes or an hour, start to write down, you know, what comes to mind. If nothing's coming to mind, try this. Do what I call the grocery store test. I love this one. So sometimes I'll do this. You're walking in the grocery store and you turn down the aisle and there you see, fill in the blank. And your first thought is to turn around and go back the other way before they see you, right? Sure sign there's a wound. Sure sign there's an amendment or something that needs to be done there. Just write down the name. If you think there's someone you wouldn't want to see or you would turn around, write down that name, okay? Or try this. List every person or event that might possibly have wounded you. And I say might possibly because here's what we do. We over-spiritualize. We spiritually edit. Oh, well, that was no big deal. Oh, that was years ago. Oh, I already forgave that. Oh, no big deal. Or maybe it's not even a person that did something to you. Maybe it's whole groups of people when that whole group gossiped about you. Or maybe it's an institution. Dell Computers hurt me, right? Or Gateway Church or some other church. I mean, that happens too. Just write it down. Don't spiritually edit. And then with that list in hand, go to one of our restore or recovery ministries and get help working through the healing of that. Because spoiler alert, you're going to need help because you're going to have to forgive. If you want to heal, you must forgive. See, here's the deal. To not forgive does not punish your transgressor. Unforgiveness is like a chain connecting your heart to the pain of the past forever. It hurts you. It doesn't hurt them. And that's why God in his wisdom wants to set us free. Look at what it says in Romans 12. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And do not take revenge, my friends. Leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you'll heap burning coals on his head. That part sounds good, doesn't it? Don't be overcome by evil. Overcome evil with good. See, this is how God overcomes evil heart by heart. That other person may not even want forgiveness. You forgive for your sake, not theirs. You forgive out of obedience to God, the God who forgives you all your wrongs, past, present, even future. And you do that, you know, realizing, I don't have to hold on to anger for the sake of justice. God will be just. You can put the chain of justice in a righteous judge's hands. It will be taken care of, either by Jesus on the cross or people will pay themselves. Don't be one that pays yourself. Receive his forgiveness and trust him with justice. And then lean back into him for the power to forgive, because the result for you is life and freedom. Again, we have lots of resources to help. We're not in this alone. We're walking together in safe, confidential, non-judgmental spaces so that we can all grow and heal. I hope you'll check out some of the restore and recovery groups. I want you to listen to Cindy down at our Gateway South campus about her experience with recovery.
Life was good, and you would think that that was enough, and you know, but it wasn't. You know, we never get there, and I thought I'd get there, and I would go through seasons where I would be like, okay, I'm gonna dig in more, and I'm gonna work harder, and I'm gonna get to that next place, and then I'd be like. And then our marriage, you know, we were struggling and I couldn't figure out why. It was like we would be great and then we would hit just like a bad spot and we would try to work our way through it, but never really get to where I felt like we were thriving either. So I just would resort to my glass of wine at night and chill and then get up the next day and give it a try again. And that only works for so long. I didn't want to try anymore. I didn't want to try. It's like, why? I just felt there was really no hope because I kept trying and I was going to different things, whether it was shopping or drinking, to try to fill this void, and it wasn't working. And so I heard about this recovery, and the reason why recovery kind of stood out to me was because the church, the leaders, everyone I talked to, they'd gone through recovery for all different reasons. And there was healthy conversation and authenticity and dialogue talking about the fact that we all have stuff. We all have blind spots, and there's always things that we're going to, as human beings, try to fill a need that we have or cover up a dysfunction that we have. And I didn't know what to expect. When I went, I was so pleasantly surprised. It was people just like me. And it was about control. It was about anger or people pleasing. Like, those were the things that we talked about that were just real stuff, but they were holding us back.